Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we are the people dashboard for small and medium companies. So how do we define small and medium companies? We think of that as companies between 50 or 100 employees to about 1,000 employees. We know in that space, a lot of you HR leaders have very small teams, yet you still want to be data-driven, and you deserve to be. But you probably are using a bunch of different HR systems, pulling messy, crappy spreadsheets from all those different systems, trying to combine all of them together and not really delivering on what you want. Well, no fear, because we created Employee Cycle, the people dashboard that has pre-built integrated connectors to all of the most popular systems that you're all using. Bamboo HR, namely Zenefits, Trinet, Sapling, ADP, Greenhouse, 15.5, Office Vibe, Reflective. We can connect to all the different systems you're using to automatically pull in all your people metrics so you can view, track, share, and analyze them all from one place. Go to employeecycle.com to get a demo, or if you're feeling like going at it today, you can just sign up for a free trial and get things moving. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please welcome to the show, Diana Minnelli. She's the HR director at Marlin Software. And today we're going to discuss how to keep employees motivated during remote work. Diana, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Diana, welcome.
I like the clapping. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I hope I can shed some light on motivating employees, keeping them engaged, because right now that's very difficult being in the state that we are.
Yes, it is. And I'm glad you like the clapping. And for a small fee, I can do that anytime you get on a Zoom call.
Great.
All right. So, Diana, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, gosh. It was kind of by accident, but not really. I was in the administrative field. I was an executive assistant for the CEO, worked for board of directors, but I've always been attached to the HR side of it. Some of the companies, or one of the companies that I worked for, never had an HR department. So because I worked for, you know, the CEO, things always fell on me. I noticed they didn't have any employee handbooks, no policies, nothing. So I said, okay, we need one. We definitely need policies and procedures. So kind of started putting that all together. Then I decided, hey, this is kind of interesting. I like doing this. I like dealing with people. So I kind of went a little step further and started to get my certification, education on it, went, you know, head first into it. My CEO had offered me a position of a HR manager at the time. And I said, sure, I'll do it. You know, went to school, got my SHRM CP certification, and kind of reworked the whole department, or created a new department of HR, and then became the director of that department. And here I am today.
Awesome. So today we're talking about how to keep employees motivated during remote work. But I think it's important for us to start with a definition of a motivated employee. What does that look like to you?
So to me, a motivated employee is someone who kind of looks beyond the position that they're in. Someone who can think out of the box, is not so structured where they can't see what's on the other side. They can't look for, you know, a solution to something. So a motivated employee looks for the solutions, looks on how to streamline what they're doing. They look to better themselves. To me, that's a motivated employee because they're motivated to make their life easier along with the company or the department or the team that they're working with.
And when you look at motivated employees, do you believe they differ by industry or more specifically by role? So would a motivated salesperson look or act differently than a motivated engineer?
Well, you know, not really, because, you know, their end result is just improving what they're doing, improving their livelihood. Either it could be for monetary purposes or just for career advancement purposes. It may look different as to what they're doing to get there, but I think, you know, there's a common goal that they both share.
Got it. And when it comes to looking at motivation, is that the same thing as engagement, or are they two different things?
No, they're two different things, because, you know, you can have a motivated employee who's not engaged in the company at all. They can just be motivated for their own purposes. You know, an engaged employee is someone who participates in the company, who participates in the growth of the company and the growth of their team or department. That's how I look at the difference between the two.
That's interesting. So if you have a salesperson that's motivated to make as much money as possible, and they're crushing it quarter after quarter, consistently going above and beyond their goals, you're saying that that person, even though they're highly motivated and a top performer, that person could still be low on the engagement of the company?
Absolutely.
Interesting. What would that look like?
So, speaking from experiences, especially in the company that I'm in right now. So we have a lot of, you know, great salespeople who are, they're just motivated to be number one in their setting their goals, you know, making the money, getting the most appointments, closing deals, but yet they have no engagement with the company. So when, you know, we're kind of reaching out to do programs, either, you know, for the community or for the company itself, you hear crickets. There's no engagement whatsoever. They're just kind of focused on their path and, you know, and how to get to their path. So they're, even though they're engaged in what they're doing, they're not engaged in the company.
So to do a compare and contrast of pre-COVID and pre-mandatory remote work versus where we are today, what did it look like to keep your employees motivated pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, I mean, it was not to say that it was a little easier, but it was a little bit easier to manage the motivation because, you know, you had your meetings, you'd all get together and you'd have your trainings, and it was just a little bit easier to kind of see that person and what they were, you know, whatever emotions they were going through. If they were feeling a little down or not motivated in their position, you can kind of call them in the office and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Let's work out a plan. So you were more visible to them and vice versa. So they would just kind of come in the office and say, hey, I'm, you know, frustrated with this. I don't feel I'm getting anywhere. You know, what can I do? So that was, you know, the pre-COVID, you know, the post-COVID, much different, because sometimes you don't talk to them as you used to. You're not seeing people in the hallways anymore. You're not having those impromptu conversations. And, you know, they're kind of feeling, you know, I'm just going to kind of do my thing here and you know, be by myself. And so it's definitely different pre and post.
So if we move towards post, or I would say during COVID, since we're still in it and people are working remotely, how are you going about understanding what is motivating or what should be motivating your different employees so that you could figure out a plan on helping them keep those motivations toward their work? Or do you understand what I'm saying?
Kind of. So are you asking, you know, how are they being motivated now during this, you know, kind of mandatory remote work?
Yes. Yes. That was a much better way of asking my question. Yes.
So basically, even though they're not in person, you don't see them on a regular basis, 100% you have to have FaceTime with them, regardless of where they are. You have to make sure that you're constantly touching the employee, either via, you know, phone calls, Zoom meetings, you know, Slack, you know, that's a big thing out there, instant messaging. You have to even do above and beyond what you had done before to keep them motivated. Because, I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, they still have to grow as an employee and they still have to be motivated to do their job for the betterment of themselves, regardless of whether they're in the office or remotely working. So that is very important. The FaceTime, just the communication, you have to do that more so now than ever.
And how do you make sure that happens with so many competing priorities like stress and anxiety or mental health or people trying to figure out if their kids are going to go back to school or not? What does that look like?
Well, I mean, it was kind of in the beginning, you know, we all thought it was going to be temporary. Okay, it's going to be 2-3 weeks, a month at the most. So, you know, the way we handled it then is much different than the way we handle it now. Just basically setting up the meetings with them, having, you know, so you have kind of tiers of communication. You have the communication with the direct manager on what they're doing for their team. Then you have the communication with the employee on what's going on with them, kind of reaching out. You know, we did surveys to see how they're really feeling, because sometimes they just, you know, some people are very private. They just kind of want to keep their feelings to themselves. So they're not really telling you how they're feeling. So we conducted surveys to see, okay, what's going on with you? What's going on with your family life? Is it having a big impact on you working from home now? Are the stresses, what kind of stresses are you that are impacting you? Do you feel more pressure from work to constantly be glued to your computer because, you know, you're afraid to walk away and miss a message? Or, you know, maybe you're feeling that your employer or your manager thinks you're slacking. So, you know, just finding out like what is at the core of what's going on with them. And then from that point, developing a plan to make sure you have the constant communication with them. You know, kind of the same things that you were doing in the office. You know, you kind of translate it through, you know, video calls now. You do it in a team atmosphere. You try to keep everybody engaged with each other, regardless that, you know, they may be 20 miles apart or 100 miles apart. So, you know, that's kind of how we did it at our office.
And are you finding that you have to implement totally different strategies to help managers stay motivated versus individual contributors?
Yes. Yes. Because, you know, having a manager stay motivated is really key to having their team stay motivated. So if we're not motivating the managers to continue doing what they're doing, their team is just going to flop. And there's not going to be any productivity, and there's just going to be, you know, bare minimum work being done, you know, just to get through the day. And so you got to kind of have to start at the mid-level, work your way down. But again, you have to have the buy-in from, you know, your executives also, because they have to stay motivated. They, you know, it's like a trickle-down effect, really.
And when you say the buy-in from your executives, is that buy-in because some of these tactics may cost money for you to implement? Is that buy-in because you need them to show their support for something? What is that buy-in for?
It's showing the support. Yeah, definitely showing the support that they're willing to, you know, put their all behind the employee. And yes, you know, there are other programs that we have to do, which, you know, do affect the bottom line. So we have to make sure that they're, you know, they see the value of, you know, that extra, you know, budget money for training or for, you know, maybe employee assistant programs where, you know, they need to be, you know, employees need to reach out to. So yes, that buy-in can be, you know, both, you know, versus budget and then just believing in this is all going to work if we all stand behind it.
Speaking of buy-in and budget, as an HR data company, we're always trying to help our customers transform their HR data into HR actions and tell a compelling data-driven story to the executives so they can get buy-in and budget for a specific use case. So how are you going about using low motivation, low engagement scores, or whatever data and metrics you're using to make a use case? And what are the metrics and or areas of your workforce that you're telling your executives could be negatively impacted to get that buy-in? Is that low performance, low morale, turnover? What does that look like?
Yeah, so turnover, key. You know, we look at those metrics. We look at the goals that are set for that employee or that team. And what comes back, you know, if it's a, you know, if they're not meeting their goals, then that's a definite where, you know, something needs to change. We, you know, right now we're using a lot of metrics to kind of drive the company and to see where we should be and what we should do as far as the employees are concerned.
Got it. And for any HR people leader out there listening, hanging on to every word you're saying, because this is definitely top of mind for them, how would you recommend they go about trying to put in a plan to make sure that their employees stay motivated?
Well, first you have to see what the issue is, if there is an issue. I definitely say do a survey. I mean, there's plenty of surveys out there that are already pre-written, just revolving around working remotely. You know, from that point, kind of develop, you know, tasks and action plans on how to resolve some of the issues, get a task force together, either, you know, if you have a culture team already, you know, at the company, if you don't, put one together, you know, kind of reach out to other people who within the organization that is motivated to, you know, get things back on track with the remote workers. I definitely, you know, I would go that path first because you have to find out what the issue is. So if you're having low turnover, okay, why, you know, why are people leaving, you know, or if goals aren't being met, what, you know, why aren't they being met? Or, you know, is it not being communicated to them? You know, is it not, is the person, you know, having some stresses at home that's affecting, you know, their work. So you kind of have to find out what the problem or what the issue is first before you can kind of move forward with a plan.
That was awesome. Thank you for that. And then the last question is around HR, really taking care of HR. And what I mean by that is we recently put out a campaign in a microsite at thankyouhr.com with a video thanking all HR leaders for all the work that they've done to help employees reduce stress and anxiety and help navigate the workforce through all the challenges of 2020, because HR is always helping others, but there's rarely times where we find that most people are looking out for HR. So I'm curious, as you're helping to make sure that all your employees are motivated, how do you keep yourself motivated as an HR leader? Since I'm sure there are a lot of people that are in the same position as you.
It's not that it's difficult, but it's been challenging because, you know, on the, you know, as any HR professional experiences, you know, you get a lot of challenging employees with challenging issues and it's not always positive. So it affects you. And basically, you know, I always look for that shimmer of hope, you know, when I'm speaking to someone and, you know, and if they feel better at the end of a conversation, that motivates me. If I feel that I put together a program that, you know, is helping the company as a whole, that motivates me. So, you know, even though it's challenging right now, just, you know, conversing with employees and just trying to get them all on track, if there's one thing that, you know, comes out of whatever I'm doing that's a positive, that just picks me up and makes me want to continue to, you know, do more of it and kind of figure out other different ways of trying to get the employee motivated or engaged. So, you know, that for sure picks me up.
Got it. Well, please stay motivated, because we know that there's a lot of employees counting on you, and it already sounds like you're doing a great job of taking care of them. And you also did a great job on this podcast. And also shout out to you, because this is your very first podcast interview. So I'm so happy and honored to be the first host to interview you on a podcast. But Diana, thank you so much for being such an awesome guest on the show.
Woo! Diana!
Yay! Thank you for having me, and I hope I did shed some light for the people out there, and thank you very much.
That was a great interview. So where can people find you and Marlin Software online?
Well, we have, it's www.themarlincompany.com. We're also on LinkedIn under Marlin Software, also appspace.com. Reach out to us, because communication is our business.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all of that contact info in the show notes. So everyone listening out there, if you enjoyed this podcast interview, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Google Reviews, or wherever you can leave a review. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast, and you came here because you wanted to hear what Diana had to say because you're already a super fan of her, or you thought this topic was very compelling and you just had to hear what we were going to talk about, but now you're hungry for more episodes, well, please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.